Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is the one and only ScaryCast. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and boy, we've got a jam-packed show tonight. We've got Lynn Myers here is here with us, and he's done some research, and we're going to talk about it. And we've got, of course, our great panel. First of all, from the Midlands of South Carolina, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Donaway. Dr. Trey, how are you doing tonight?
Well, John, I had something rather upsetting happen to me this evening.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, it was getting dark. It was so hot today, I decided to mow the lawn when the sun was going down, and my daughter called, and we were talking, and then the next thing you know, it's getting darker, and I said, it's okay, because when I got my lawnmower, it has headlights on it. Now, my children gave me the hardest time about headlights on a lawnmower. Ha, 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 Dad, when would you need headlights on a lawnmower? And I said, well, if you decide to mow the lawn in the dark. And I said, well, I've got this lawnmower. It had headlights. I hop on the mower. I start zooming around to mow the grass because it needs to be mowed. And I flipped on the headlights when it started to get dark, and the headlights weren't working.
No.
Yes, they weren't working. So I just kind of did it by rote memory, and I did check it with a flashlight afterwards because I couldn't get off the lawnmower. I was just zipping around, and it actually looked pretty darn good. So all in all, when the worst thing that happens to you in a day is that your headlights stop working on your lawnmower, you know, it's not a bad day. That's an okay day. So all in all, it was a great day. It's just, it was a little upsetting when it got dark on the riding lawnmower. But it still worked out. That is a first world problem. And I'm happy to have as many first world problems as I can run into.
I hadn't heard about first world, second world, and third world problems. I think the epitome of a third world problem is you don't have a foot. It was amputated.
First world problems is definitely when your headlights on your riding lawnmower doesn't work right. That's a first world problem. And I'm happy to have first world problems anytime.
That's right. Now, what's a second world problem? There's a list of them that everybody knows, but I can't remember them right now. What's a second world problem?
The snakes in South Carolina.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Do what?
I said the
Do
next
what,
biggest problem is the snakes in South Carolina. Good Lord.
Okay. I might agree with you on that. Well, and speaking of Robin McCray Haynes, it's so good to have you here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I am doing
good.
I am glad. I just got done moderating a show on YouTube, and so now I'm here.
Good. Now, what was this show about?
World Bigfoot Radio. So
okay.
I'm a moderator for their shows, so... They had just a short one that usually runs an hour and a half to 2 hours, but tonight it was just like a 20-minute clip. What it was is he had got some great footage in his research area, Duke Sullivan did, and we went looking through the footage, and there was just like faces everywhere. They were just bebopping all over the place. So it was one of those things where he decided to go back and do a real quick clip and say, look at you guys, we got photobombed the whole time we were filming.
Well, that's great. Well, anyway, speaking of that, here's Robin McCray Haynes from beautiful, sunny the Midlands of South Carolina. And how are you doing otherwise, other than the fact that you were a moderator on World Bigfoot Radio?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Well, that's great. Well, we're glad to have you here. And our guest tonight is my good friend, and Trey and I have interviewed him, and he's a heck of an interesting guy. And he is from Elkin, North Carolina. Now, I'll tell you what, Lynn, there's not a lot going on in Elkin, is there?
No, I like it like that. It's
all right, we'll put
much,
in the
a couple of stoplights and just peace where everybody knows everybody. It's a good thing.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, anyway, we're glad to have you here. First of all, before I start asking you about, you wrote a paper, which I find very, very interesting, and you were very kind to do it. And the first thing I'd like for you to do is tell us a little bit about you and your research and all. I mean, I think people will find it exciting, at least in this crowd they will.
Well, I am looking forward to sharing it with you. It's been, I don't know, I can't, it's hard to put a finger on how long that I've been looking at this and praying about it, studying it, searching scriptures, looking at what's happening and reading a lot from a lot of different people and trying to understand how the church should deal with some of the things that are going on. And I think pretty much it started dealing with alien abduction phenomena. There was some specific news about that, and I'm sure we'll have time to talk about that, coming out of Guy Malone from Area 51 there in Roswell, New Mexico. He's got a ministry there in Roswell. And Joe Jordan, who has got a website that really hangs off of Guy Malone's website called CE4, and Close Encounters, of course, for the fourth time. They are both Christian ministries, and while they are different, they partner a lot, but their focus are different. One of the things that really became interesting over time is the number of cases that Jordan was part of MUFON early on, and he did not have a Christian experience. You could read all about his experiences and everything on the website there, CE4 Research. But he did not have a Christian experience starting off, and he started finding to where people that had abduction experiences from the time that they were children, I'm talking 4 and 5 years old, up and where they were now adults, they was just a regularly occurring experiences that they had been able to stop them, and a few of them in mid-experience had stopped them, and the word that they didn't come back in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that began to open some doors for research, and I began to reading other places that were showing the same sort of thing, and there was some information about MUFON that they had gone in, and Jordan especially, Joe Jordan had gone in as a director of MUFON there over South Korea, actually, at the time. He lives in the U.S. now, but when he was over South Korea, he had gone out and looked at a lot of the files, and when he was talking to the MUFON leadership, they said, yeah, we know that happens. And, you know, of course, the question is, well, why isn't that being reported? And the answer was, well, because we don't talk about religious stuff. Well, to me, that's a bit of an issue, because my issue was I sat in a large auditorium at a conference one time on a similar topic to this, and there were thousands of people in there. I'm talking maybe 4,000 people and 3,500 to 4,000. And the guy asked, I mean, this was a Christian conference, so I have to assume most of them were church-going Christians, and they asked the question, how many of you have experienced a UFO or maybe even an abduction experience? And they didn't ask to separate. They just said, if you're an experiencer. And I would say probably 8 out of 10 people in that auditorium raised their hand. So we're talking about thousands that had an experience. The problem is you go to the church and talk about it, they act like, well, we don't know what you're talking about. Or they give them back information, or they say, well, you're crazy. So it can destroy someone's ministry, because they'll say, oh, he believes in the UFO stuff. You know, he don't. And there has to be a response from the church. And this is sort of what my paper revolved around. There is a response from the church. There are people talk about doing ghost hunting and things and having attachments. Things follow them home over and over and over. You see that to where from serious sicknesses to what they call main poltergeist activity, all the way through this, they have these things follow them home. And the truth is there can be deliverance from that in Jesus Christ, but the churches don't teach it. And frankly, I understand why, as pastor, why a pastor would not do that. Because, like I said, it can impact the ministry on, you know, just the standard gospel message that they would normally be teaching. So I think it's better that this comes from lay people and small group teachings, and that's what I have always recommended. I know a lot of people that believe as I believe think, no, it ought to be from the pulpit and the church ought to address it more. But, you know, for me, you've got thousands of people, perhaps millions of people. I know I have a statistic in the paper, and it talks about, of course, I wouldn't be able to find it right this second, but it talks about the number of people from a recent polls that, I've cited where it came from and all of that, but the number of people that are experiencing this, it's like 6% of the American people, American public, have claimed that they have had an abduction experience, not just a UFO thing, but an abduction experience. So if that is true, then we as the church have to have some sort of answer to that. And what I found through standing on the shoulders of giants, really, in this area, is that we do have an answer. And what I am trying to give into this is a warning, yes, but also the knowledge that there is deliverance. Here's the possibility of what you may be seeing. Here's some things that it could be. And just giving people information and showing them in the past. Like there are so many historical accounts of cryptids, for instance. And yet even today we see reports all over of there being especially a lot of UFO activity around where a Bigfoot or a Dogman or whatever it is sort of reporting. I think some of the most interesting ones that we see on TV recently is around the Skinwalker Ranch and that show and others like it that have talked about it. But the point is the church does have a response to that. And we do have not only scripture behind it, but we can tell you what the sources of it for, what people who are secular giants in the field of research, like Jacques Blais, like J. Allen Hynek, that they came to the same conclusions that the Christians have come with, that this is very much like the demonic tales of the Middle Ages. My bottom line that I have got to after years and years and years of looking at this stuff is it's all about permission. If you give permission, these things, these fallen entities, can appear in however you give them permission to appear. Angels in Scripture appear in forms from some things have many faces to multitude of wings to just a human that you couldn't tell the difference between. Matter of fact, the Scripture in the New Testament says, be careful when you entertain strangers because many have entertained angels unaware. On a mission from God, just like Moses did as the angels were on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham did as they was on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. The point is they can appear as God needs them to appear because the word angel, of course, means messenger, and they'll do whatever it is. Now, yeah, we have looks at the holy angels. The fallen angels, there's no reason to believe that they don't have the same sort of capabilities. So we see the fact that I believe they are not, we are not seeing extraterrestrial, but we are seeing interdimensional. As angels have access to different dimensions, other additional dimensions than we do. And I can talk about that some more on a technical level. I did not in the paper, but there are some very good illustrations that helps one understand that. Also, I believe that like Gary Stearman, I was at a conference with him and heard him speak one time about a UFO that he had personally experienced. He had the whole thing with missing time. His aircraft flew much longer than the aircraft should have been able to fly. It had, when it landed, it had a mechanical problem that it should not have flown. It was, should have crashed. There was no reason why he was able to go from point A to point B. There's no reason all that time was missing. There's no reason all that. And he attributes his safety and even being there to this UFO that he saw, saying that he believed that it was a holy angel, not a fallen angel. To back up with that, you'll see it's something in the paper that I had written. You can't just look at something like that and tell what it is. L.A. Marzulli, I've heard him say in live sessions several times, he'll say rebuke first and ask questions later. I've even asked him about that, and I can't help but agree. As I said in the paper, angels, messengers on a job that God has sent them on. We saw what happened to the angel in that John, the Revelator in Revelation, when the angels delivered a message to him, he fell down on his face and started to worship. And the angel said, don't do that. I am a fellow servant, just like you. I'm about carrying the gospel. Said, I'm the same as you. I'm a fellow servant, a fellow messenger. Said, don't you do that. Don't you worship me. And then he said, don't be afraid. Do this. So those are key elements here. Do they give glory to God? And do they establish fear? If you read the scriptures, and anybody that read the scriptures even at a base level knows that almost every instance of an appearance of an angel, they say first, fear not. Now, you don't get that with these UFO experiences today, to where there are abduction experiences, there are scoop marks, there are implants, there are all this stuff. As a matter of fact, it's horror instead of fear. And the main scripture behind that is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we are given a spirit of fear, if we're assaulted by a spirit of fear, then it is not of God. It is of Satan, so, or of the demonic. So if the things that deliver this sort of terror, this sort of fear, if those things are not, whether it's human or not, if they are not explicitly demonic, then they are implicitly demonic because they serve the demonic in what they do. That's kind
well,
of an
Lynn,
overview
I wanna,
of what talking about. And, of course,
I
get
I want to tell everyone
behind it,
why.
Where these ideas come from, what the Bible says about supernatural things that aliens do today, the levitating someone out of bed, the lost time, the objects that, like I said, the implants and the scoop marks. There are exact parallels to those things in Scripture. And one just has to look at it and seek the presence of the Holy Spirit and the acknowledgement there. And you can follow very clearly that what is happening here. It easily becomes not a mystery, but eyes open to what is happening, to what is trying to be accomplished, whether it be from the side of the holy angels or the side of the fallen angels. So I think
all
that's
right. I want to stop you
probably
right. Stop
a,
you right there.
50,000 foot flyover of it, and there's a lot more detail in it, but that
sure.
should give you an idea of what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right. And what I've done, the reason that I know you.
Did I lose you?
The reason I know you and really like what you do is
Hello?
You came up to the Tennessee Bigfoot. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, John.
It shows it's working. I don't know.
Okay. Well,
oh,
Lynn, can you hear me?
There you are. I can hear you now.
Okay.
Were you able to hear
Robin, can you hear me?
Did you lose?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
No, we heard what you said. What I was going to tell everybody is you were kind enough to come up to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, I believe 3 years ago, and to talk about this very issue. And I found it fascinating because I met you at the Charlotte Cryptid Conference and the second one, and your brother, who is the creator of the Normie, the Lake Norman Monster legend,
right.
And the coloring books and everything. And we had just such a great time. I asked you to come up to the conference in Tennessee because it's not that far from Elkin.
Elkin, yeah.
So you came up there, and we were talking a little bit about things before before the event, and you mentioned to me how invoking the name of Jesus seemed to be one powerful tool to stop alien abductions. And of course, I went on a tear. Well, let me go ahead and tell my version of the story here. So I went on a tear. I had the MUFON people there. And I said in the middle of one of their talks, I said, well, let me ask you something. Lynn Myers has got proof in the scripture and from a lot of stories that invoking the name of Jesus Christ can stop alien abductions. And now, why is it, if that is a known, I said, is that known? And the lady that's the head of MUFON said, yes, it is. And then I just said, well, why in the world don't you tell everybody that? Because don't you think it would be good to try to stop some alien abductions? I mean, I didn't realize until I wrote my book that I'd had eight UFO abductions. I didn't realize that. I realized all those stories were about me, and lo and behold, that's kind of where everything was. So, and then they got they got all bowed up about everything, and they said, well, MUFON, it doesn't have anything to do with religion. And I said, well, it might have something to do with results and saving people from alien abductions, I think, don't you? And they got all upset with me. I said, well, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. And the majority of the speakers there did not like your platform and what you said. But, you know, I don't really care because here on ScaryCast and at my conferences, we have this thing called the First Amendment. And you say what you want to say because we have the First Amendment here. Now, I mean, we don't have the First Amendment hardly anymore, but you have it on my show and you have it at our events. So I just thought it was great how upset they got when they even acknowledged that that is something that people have used to stem off alien abductions. And I thought, well, and I even said, well, this is ridiculous. And boy, they didn't like me either. And so anyway, we went on with the conference.
You know, John, I think it's interesting how when you meet with people whose premise would be considered by many people is fringe information, fringe science. Some people wouldn't even give you the time of day if you said you had an alien abduction. But when you go to a conference that's in one of these areas of study, area of interest, you'll find closed-mindedness as acute in that environment where you'd think they'd be a little bit more open-minded, considering their own premises. But people just tend to be closed-minded, even if they're promoting something that some people would be closed-minded about as well. That was kind of a long way to get to the point where people are people and they believe what they're going to believe. And even when you push some topic that makes people uncomfortable, they react to it very defensively, which is unfortunate because when we have guests on ScaryCast, I try to do my best to at least believe what they say they believe in is genuine. I might not quite believe some of the things, but unless somebody is just purely trying to make a buck off of a lie, I tend to be much more accepting of people than I would in just about any other forum. So I think your forum of ScaryCast is very open-minded and very accepting, and that's why we have so many interesting guests.
And
kind
I'll
of
say
a long
this
way around, wasn't
ask
it?
Robin, yeah, before I ask Robin to weigh in, I'll say this. Trey, we had someone on within the last 2 months and we had an hour and a half of their stuff, okay, and you were very kind about it. And the particular gentleman who's very well known in his field, he looked at you because you said, "Oh, you're a man of science. You're not going to believe a word of this." Do you remember that statement?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And my innermost thought is, okay, what is your gain from this? Promoting this pseudoscience. What is your gain? And there has to be a gain: fame and fortune, notoriety. What's the deal? And those are the people I have problems with. It's the people who promote anti-vaccine propaganda because they figured out how to make a buck off of it. Those are the people that I cannot stand.
As opposed
yeah,
to someone who's
say,
genuinely afraid of it. Yeah.
I can say that.
All right.
One of the things that I keep doing this is because at every conference, no matter how much pushback I've had, and I've been able to, like sitting on that round table with all of those guys, I was able to even answer private questions from them that they had to go scripturally. That was very helpful. But the most important thing is every time I've spoken, I've had at a minimum of three people, and sometimes more than that, come up and ask me about getting closer to Christ, getting even initial salvations, being delivered. I prayed for deliverance for someone that was having an absolute manifestation of a demonic presence. And that's why I'm in it. The only reason that I'm saying what I'm saying is that there is deliverance in Jesus Christ. And he is my master, and I have to please him and no one else. So I am fine with going places and saying, this is what the scripture says. This is what the Bible says. This is what I believe that how these things coordinate together. I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to make fun at you. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. I'm going to just tell you that this is what the scriptures say. And if I can't defend scripturally something, got no reason putting it out there. So I have no problem taking questions. If I'm wrong, I'll say, hey, I don't know. I don't know. I'm wrong. I learn a lot. But I do know that every time that I've spoken and done this, I have had people come to me for help and that have received help. I've given out my cards and emails, and people have gotten deliverance. People have gotten help because of this message. And if you want to know why I do it, that's why I do it. That's it.
It's a heck of a message. So, Robin? I'm sorry. We have talked too much without input from the Queen of Scarycast.
I'm just actually just listening. I'm doing just fine over here. I'm just listening to everything at all in.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I find I agree with a very large portion of it. My background is a little bit different, so there's some variations there. That doesn't make me right or wrong. I try to keep an open mind with everything. As far I'm a Christian, I believe in invoking the name of Jesus Christ helps. I believe in a lot of those things, but because of the background that I have with the cryptids, the experiences that I've lived through, I have just a little bit of a different take. But that doesn't mean that anybody's right or wrong. I mean, I just have a different take on it just because of what I've experienced in my lifetime and what I've been taught.
Okay.
So I'm kind of listening to everything.
Okay. And I'll say this. One of my personal beliefs is that we are as interdimensional as any other beings in the world. And there are multiple timelines, multiple time streams. I got caught up I got caught up in something today at work. There's this very nice fella named Don, really nice guy. And he said, well, you know, my dad was paying for an insurance policy on me, and so we know it was from 14 years ago. And I said, Don, he took this policy out 6 years ago. Well, now, he couldn't have, because it was the first time I was dating this girl, and blah, 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 blah. I said, Don, the policy dates from 2016. That's what the records show. I have a copy of the declarations page. The policy dates from 2016. And he just couldn't believe that I was telling him the facts, because he got caught in a Mandela effect moment. He's absolutely certain that that policy was taken out 14 years ago, and it wasn't. It was taken out 6 years ago. And it's amazing when you hear someone legitimately saying, this is not right. And I wanted to say, I'm sitting there at Transamerica not wanting to cause any waves. I didn't want to say, well, you know, Don, because there are multiple time streams, and so our time stream might be different than yours. Now, I can just see that one getting back to my boss. I mean, that is not how you win friends and influence people at work. And it's a fact. And, Lynn, if you could make a comment on that, because I think we sometimes – there are multiple realities that happen. And have you experienced anything like that?
No, it's not. It's a good question. Let's talk about something like the missing time element of that and time streams. And first off, I think it's important to note that perception is reality if someone truly has a strong perception about something. My dad had dementia before he died. He believed some things that were absolutely just crazy, but you couldn't convince him that it didn't happen, because in his mind it happened. The mind can do some wild stuff, can put us into some, you know, we've all had deja vu moments, we've all had these type of things. So I think the mind is an incredible creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But as far as time streams and things like that, what I believe is God says that he knows the end of a thing from the beginning. Jesus Christ, he says he created the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible tells us later on in the New Testament that Christ created all things, and by him all things consist, and all things are built together. So we look at these things, and we know that God created the plan. And the best illustration I have for this, and I've really used it since the Avengers Endgame come out, because it opened up my mind so much. For those that have seen the movie, there's a point to where the person that owned the time stone, right? Now, I know all this is made up, but it'll help us understand. The person that owned the time stone, Dr. Strange, it shows him, and he's, you know, in this vibrating thing, you know, he's looking through time zones, he's looking through dimensions. And when he finishes, Iron Man asks him, he says, in how many time streams do we defeat him? And he says, one. And he says, one. So if we can look at a Marvel comic and understand that this master of time could look through all of the possible time strings and pick the one that with which the great evil could be defeated by the sacrifice of one hero, does that not sound like the story of the scriptures? As God, because he does know things from the end, from the beginning, that he chose the one way. The plans I have for you, he said, are good plans, plans to not to hurt you, but to bless you. He says, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good if you will love me and if you will follow my call in your life. The actual verse says, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. But what he is saying through all of those things together is that God looked through time and chose a way. This has to happen this way. in order to come up with the end. See, time, he created time. So this line that we're on is God's line. And he has chosen the timeline. He's chosen the way that his perfect end comes out. See, I used to think that there's a big chess game, a checkers game going on, depending on how deep I wanted to get into it. And God, you know, he was going to win because he was God. But Satan would make a move, and God would say, oh, my goodness, I got to do this, and I got to do that. No, none of that happened. When I was a child, I thought I was a child. But I look now, and I understand that, God, because he is God, he knew from the beginning the one timeline, the one way that this was all going to happen. Need to be done. I know the end of the thing from the beginning. So when we get a prophecy, that's not God going out to in the future and looking and saying, well, I'm going to try to make this happen. I'll have to work real hard. But I thought, no, it's him just because he is not bound by time. He can look out at that timeline and say, well, this is what's happening. That's why Scripture is so accurate with the prophecies. We see 90, I forget the exact number, but in the high 90s, percent of the prophecies in the Scripture have come to pass. And the ones concerning, of course, the second coming of Jesus Christ are the only ones that's left not come to pass yet. But again, if I look at 90-some percent of them have, how can I question the last 8 or 10 percent, you know? But the point is, when I look at time, God has to be master of that, or he is not God. If I look at time-space continuums. If I look at, just look at the two drawings of a timeline. It's a straight line. It's a sequence of events. It can't be altered. And yeah, I understand that the Star Trek series is really one that pushed those things off. That says, well, there's different timelines, and this is where a split in the timeline happened, and there's millions of them happened. But I don't see it that way. I'm choosing the line. Could he have done that? Could he have made those kinds of splits? Yeah, he could have, because he's God. Because he created time. I think that's the first thing he created. Let there be light. We measure time by the speed of light. You know, he created time. He wasn't bound by time. He created it. So he stands outside of time and says, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And it's not a guess. He's standing out watching it happen because he is God, and he's outside of that. He knows how things are going to work out. It isn't a guess. It isn't something he has to work through. So as far as timelines of time strings and time like that, I understand the possibilities of that, and I understand that on a spiritual level, we can sort of experience a what-if moment, I think, on a lot of things. But sometimes I think it's just no more than and I'm going to use my term here, the firing of a prophetic gift, if you will. The Bible says that God gives these spiritual gifts severally, the Holy Spirit does, as he sees fit. So if I have a prophetic gift for that instance, for that time, for that moment, and I see that something in the future is going to happen, I may or may not realize that it was a prophetic gift, and I see it as a moment of deja vu. I see it as a moment of maybe something that doesn't really matter to me today. But I think it will matter tomorrow or the next day as we begin to use these gifts the way God intended us to use these gifts, as we draw closer to him that he shows us. So as far as the timelines and things like those are all driven by what God has decided time will be, and to use that term, when time will be. Remember, he is not bound. He would not be God if he was not bound. If he was bound by anything, and he is not. I heard a preacher just recently say, God stood on nothing and created everything. And that may be sort of trite and sort of, you know, maybe everybody has trouble saying it that way, but that is the point.
the little G's that I talked about in the paper, the little gods, the created gods, they were created by him, for him, and for his pleasure. It's clearly about that. He is the only one that was before all things, and by him were all things created. Out of nothing, he created all things, including time. So that's my take on that.
All right. Here's my one question for you, Lynn. What this model doesn't seem to address is the model of free will, and that's the one thing that I have always wondered about. It's like everything is predetermined.
No, God does things like, let me see, how's the best way to put this? That is a question that, of course, theologians have debated for centuries, but let me take a look at it and see if I can't put it in a way that help people understand that might be listening to this. I have, as a free moral agent, I have to choose who I will serve. Does God know what I would choose? Yes. He could. Does he? I don't know. I have to leave that up to God. Does he choose to know? We know that Jesus Christ said that, and him being God, clearly he thought it not robbery to count himself equal with God, right? The Holy Spirit being equal with God. And yet, they are God. But yet he said only the Father knew of the time of the second coming, that he decided to keep that to himself. So what he does, I don't know. Could he know what everyone would choose? Yes, he could know. But the point is, he did not want to create a race of robots. He wanted to have a family who would work with him and be a part of him and be a part of his work that he's going to continue throughout eternity. He wanted to join us. He wanted us to join him, and not because we were forced into it, but free moral agency allows, through the golden age of eternity that is coming, free moral agency allows it to be a family relationship. We chose to be there, and you can actually see that in the Old Testament when it talks about God during the creation of the stars and the morning stars applauded and shouted at that, the angels, in other words, at that. See, he allows the angels to help him in his work. He sent angels to minister to men. Angels are the first of that heavenly family. And could God have done everything that angels did, or he had angels do all throughout the Old Testament? Yes, but he wanted to use them because he loves them. They're his family. And just like today, could God take the gospel and through a manifestation of his Holy Spirit to everybody in the world, could he say, carry it out? Yes, he could, but he does not want that. He wants to use his children, his the followers of Christ. He wants to use us as a part of his family because we were to do the work that he has decided to do. Now, he empowers us. He enables us through the working of the Holy Spirit and through the gospel and through these things. We don't do anything of our own. It is all him. But without free moral agency, without the right to choose, then we'll just be created as a race of robots that had no choice about it at all. Some people say, well, that means he created people knowing that they would go to hell. No, the Bible is very clear that it breaks his heart with that, and he will try over and over and over to try to make someone or to give someone the ability to make that choice to come to him. But he won't make them. As a matter of fact, the whole thing about the lake of fire, that's eternity, the Bible's very clear about that. That was not created for mankind at all. The Bible's very clear. It says it was created for Satan and his angels. But the problem is, in the golden age, that age upon age, the forever time, there's only one place that will be separated from God, which is death. Death is separation from God, and that is that lake of fire. And so while Satan and his angels are destined for that lake of fire, mankind, those of mankind that refuse to accept the gift of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through him, the only place that they can be outside of that relationship with Jesus Christ is that lake of fire. And it's not that God sends them there. It's the only place they can go to where they have rejected or to where Christ can be rejected, because he reigns everywhere else. I hope that helps a little. But free will agency is a must, because God wants a family to love and to walk with and talk with in the cool of the evening in the garden, just like he did with Adam, which is why Jesus had to be that second Adam, that as the scriptures call him, that he would live to show us how we were supposed to live. A very, very powerful thing. Jesus said, everything I do, you will do, and even greater. And that's an absolute truth. I mean, there's one time Jesus tells Peter to go catch a fish, and it's going to have a piece of gold in its mouth, and use that to pay the temple tax with for them. And then another time, a little kid walks up with a basket, and he says, what's in the basket? Now, if he knows there's gold in one guy's, in the fish's mouth, and how come he doesn't know what's in the basket? Because God didn't tell him to know that. See, he does the same thing with us as his people, as his partners, his family. He says, there are times that I need to know this extra knowledge. And just like he did with Jesus, he gave it. And there's other times I just need to ask. Like I asked a little kid, what's in the basket, kid? God's going to do something amazing with it. But he said very clearly, everything I know, the Father's told me. I go wherever he tells me to do whatever he tells me to do. And he was here to show us that we could live in exactly the same way, above and without sin. It's a very powerful, powerful thing when we back up and look at it. By thinking of pictures and being a comic book and all this thing, you know, I think of like when Herod attacked him as a little baby. He's fully man and fully God. And Jesus Christ rise up in a giant energy bottle, you know, bubble, and just fry all the soldiers of Herod. Why didn't he do that? I mean, other places from Herod did that, you know. So why didn't Jesus do that as a little baby? He was fully God. The reason he didn't do it is because I can't do it. He sent through his daddy, and his daddy took him into Egypt. And just as a baby, he had to rely on that. And we rely upon what he can do, and we rely upon brothers and sisters that he puts in our path to help us, and sometimes people that are not brothers and sisters that are put in our path that help us and to accomplish the thing that he has to do. So all of those things are important to say that Jesus was here living in this timeline to accomplish the one way that had to happen in order for all mankind to have the ability to be saved. That's why when he said in the garden, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it be so. And then three times, and then he says, not my will, but thine be done, because he knew all the ways have been exhausted. But just because of who he was fully man, he didn't want to go through that. Because that is such a hard thing, and I don't want to get into that here. It's another whole teaching. But what happened to Christ is beyond what could happen to any person ever. He became the antithesis of who he was, a holy God who knew not sin and could not sin, became sin on the cross. Think about that. No wonder he sweat great drops of blood. No wonder he did that. But it was his choice as a free moral agent. And just as God gave Jesus that free moral agency, do you not believe, as the scripture says, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called legions of angels down. But he didn't. He did it. He did what he did because that was God's plan. It was, if you will, Dr. Strange's, there's one way that this can happen. And there's one timeline, and there's one way. So I think the rest of it has to do with the what ifs that we play spiritually sometimes. And I think a lot of times it is gifts, as I said earlier, and then sometimes it's just pure deception. And the only way to tell what has happened is to look to what the Holy Spirit tells you at that time, what it is that we should be learning from this. One of the questions I pray constantly is, what do you want me to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want to show me? So I hope that's helpful.
Well, I tell you what, it's very confusing. At least for me it is. And I'm going to have to talk with you more about this offline because I kind of have an idea of what you're saying, but I need to get further clarification. I think probably tonight's not the world's greatest time because we need to, you know, we need to talk about that a little bit more and go farther into it. So I guess, Robin, do you have any comments that you'd like to make?
Not really. Like I said, I've enjoyed the conversation. I've enjoyed hearing Lynn's thoughts, and I'm very respectful of that. Again, do I agree with a lot of it? Yes. You know, my background, and of course Lynn doesn't know it, I've been around all the cryptids since I was a toddler. My first ET abduction, I was 4 years old, and it's carried on throughout my life. I've worked alongside the cryptids. I've dealt with the bad ones. I've dealt with the good ones. And so I have a little bit different background, which gives me a little bit different insight. I completely believe that everybody is entitled to their opinion. I don't think that there's any solid way to say who's right or who's wrong. So, but I do agree with a great amount of information that he shared, and I am thrilled that he was able to be on the show with us. I have a lot of respect for him and what he has said. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I just, like I said, I come from a little bit different aspect of it, as well as I've communicated with these cryptids my whole life. When it comes to certain ones, mainly with the Bigfoots, they are highly religious people, you know, and I do 100% agree with the, you know, in calling out Jesus' name will retract a lot of bad energies and a lot of bad things that are out there. However, there are a lot of good things that are out there as well, which has been proven time and time again. They've saved my life numerous times, as well as countless others that I'm aware of, and I can only imagine the amount of the ones that I don't know. But they are very religious. When I lived in Michigan, they had a area that was very, very close to my house. I want to say within 50 feet of my front door, that was an area that they would go and worship. And they worship Creator, which is the same thing as our God. And they are actually quite a religious people. They are not an animal. They are a people. And not only do I know that as fact because of what they've told me, but the DNA states it. And they are highly religious. They answer to the same God that we do. Like our people, we have good and bad. You know, we have atheists in our world. And they have, in their culture, they have the ones that don't believe in God either. You know, I'm a Christian. I always have been. I am very, very much a believer. I'm very spiritual. I believe in the Bible and different things that are in that as well. But like I said, my background brings me in from a little bit different standpoint of it. As far as the ETs, like I said, my first abduction, I was 4 years old. And that was the first one that I remember. That doesn't mean it was my first abduction. From what I was told, that was not my first time. So, and I've dealt with the good ETs. I've dealt with the bad ETs. So I kind of, like I said, my background is a little bit of a different angle. I don't think that means that either one of us are wrong. I think, you know, we just have different views based on our background. And I try to be a person that tries to keep an open mind. I believe everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I respect everybody's right to that opinion, even if they aren't the same. I think at the end of the day, we all have the same thought process. You know, we all believe in God. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that that entails a little bit more than what we've really discussed here. So I think that kind of, that's where it kind of changes a little bit for me. I also differ in my opinion of whether or not all cryptids are demonic, because that's not what I've been taught. Do I think that there are things out there that are demonic? Absolutely, 100%, 110%. I've been called in to help people with demonic entities. I've also been, and I've always helped them, I've also been brought in to help deal with dark energies, which is different in my belief than a demonic entity, because there's different things there that, that cause me to believe differently. But again, I fully respect everything that you've said tonight. I appreciate you being on the show. I've enjoyed hearing all your thoughts.
Well,
because
thank
I'm
you.
Also, I'm also a person that believes that if you don't hear all sides, how are you going to come up with a conclusion? You can't just be in this box and think that while being in that box, you're going to know everything, because you don't. You know, you've got to be not only in the box, you've got to be outside of the box. And so for me, I very much enjoyed hearing your thoughts. You know, I think at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. We all, you know, we all, I think everybody that's been on the show tonight can agree that we all believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. I think that fundamentally we all have the same beliefs. I think there are some variations based on our background. But I don't think, in my personal opinion, that doesn't make anybody right or wrong. It just means that we come from different backgrounds that would lead us to believe that there may be, you know, other ways as well.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And Trey, what do you have to say as we've gone around?
Comparative
the
religion. I was listening to Robin. And I think we ought to have a show where we explore religious aspects of cryptids, the difference between dark energy and demonic individuals, what different varieties of religious orientation there might be among the great number of entities that Robin has had encounters with. That would be an interesting show. Look for some similarities, look for differences. I think that would make for a very interesting show. You could certainly have someone Judeo-Christian ethic involved. It would be interesting to bring in other world religions to see how that might mesh with other life forms, other people.
Yeah, because there's such I agree with Trey, and I think there's such a vast, I mean, it's all multidimensional, okay? There's multiple dimensions. There's multiple planes. There's rifts. There's all of these things. And so I have a hard time when I try to categorize everything into one ballpark. Because it's really just so vast. So I tend to agree with Trey on that. I really do. And it's and again, you know, it's different backgrounds, different exposure to different things. You know, what I believe now may not have been what I believed in per se 50 years ago. You know, but due to exposure and being able to communicate with all these things, you know, plus the abilities that I do have where I can, you know, when I'm dealing with these things, it's easy for me because I read energy and I do energy work. I can tell if they're being deceptive or whatever. And I've been called out to so many different areas for some of the bad things as well as the good. You know, so I agree with Trey. I just think that, you know, it's just not, for me anyway, it's not just completely cut and dry. You know, I've always been a person that I don't believe in just the black and white because there's so many gray areas.
Well, Robin,
you know,
let me ask you a question, and this deals with definitely the gray areas. In your understanding of different religious thoughts among various life forms, different peoples, from the Bigfoots to cryptids to you've been able to mind speak with a wide variety of people.
Right.
Do you find that each type of people has their own religious beliefs that are pretty much comprehensive in that population? Or have you encountered maybe a Bigfoot that has picked up on Christian influence or people's traditional religion?
What I've noticed with them as a whole is they all answer, the good ones, okay? They all answer to what they call creator. And their creator is actually the same God that we have. Now, I will say this, that what form, like, you know, when you see a picture of Jesus or anything like that, we have a certain, not stereotype, but what we consider that it looks like.
There's a construct that is built around that image, and that image fits the construct of Judeo-Christian.
And for the most
part,
theirs all go along with that. There are some that have a little bit of variance. However, it is the same God that we worship. They do as well. But then again, like I said, and I have very good friends that are very highly religious, and they feel just as Lynn does, that all of these things, especially the dogmen, more so than the Bigfoot, are all demonic. Where because I've worked with them, I've spoke with them, not that they can't lie, because trust me, I call them out when they do. I know personally from my experience, and I could be wrong, I don't believe that I am any more than anybody else is going to think that they're wrong, but it's not a demonic, gone up against demonic things. I've had demonic things come and try to kill me. I know what they feel like. You know, and by the grace of God, I'm still here. But as far as the overall, what they consider to be God, it is actually the same God that we work with and that we believe in. You know, I mean, when I went to Pennsylvania, I went up in the mountains to meet with Earthkeeper. Okay, Earthkeeper does not take on any... It's not like one certain form. It's more like an essence. But Earthkeeper works directly with God. When they sent me up there to stop the one group of Bigfoot that was bad, you know, like I said, they're not all good. Trust me, I know this. And they're not all bad, but it's not any worse than our people. I'd rather deal with their people any day of the week. But when I had to stop the ones that were bad, I remember being there. And I will go to my grave saying, I felt the hand of God on my shoulder, and I felt him speak to me. And I will go to my grave saying that because I know that's what it was. But these are the same things that any of these beings that are good, it all comes under the same category. They all worship them. I mean, I used to watch them go out, the dogmen and the Bigfoot, and sit there and pray, not only in our language, but in their own, all to the same God that we do. You know, there was, and this is a wonderful true story of somebody that was a truck driver going down the road, and it was late at night, it was dark, and he hit a Bigfoot, okay? And it was a female. And there was a male with her and a child, and the gentleman did not see any of them. The female actually ran in front of the semi, and she was hit. He got out, ran over to her because she was so human-like, and then saw, you know, she was covered in hair, which scared him. The male was there, and so was the child. The gentleman had on several cross necklaces that he had on all the time. He never took them off. And she wanted the cross necklace to be put on her chest. And the male requested this cross necklace from the truck driver that hit her. And he obliged and gave the cross necklace. And she held it tightly in her hands and held it up to her chest. I mean, these things represent to them what they do us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more so than what people really comprehend.
Well, let me kind of speak to that a second, if you don't mind. When I'm talking about things like, and I think you have to draw a line between the UFO and the cryptid things, although, like you have stated, I could just say Satan is a deceiver, so he counterfeits the real. So if the counterfeit is there, then the real is there. So the fact that there might be multiples, you know, you got some of the good and some of the bad, you know, with the cryptids like you're talking about. I could not sit here and say, well, that cannot happen. You know, what I can say is, like, back to the illustration that Gary Stearman was given, the UFO that he saw, which I believe is would have been in the Old Testament, the chariot of the gods there, little g, that angelic chariot, was there to help him, not to hurt him.
Right.
So much we see with things like the alien greys, for instance. If you look at
the greys are wicked.
Yeah, Aleister Crowley, what he summoned, that demonic entity that helped him write that book and drew him. His name was Lamb, and if you look at that drawing, it's an alien grey. And that was way.
Well, the Zeta greys are bad, but then this
yeah,
is
so,
again where we different, because where I believe that those are true evil, they're soulless. They really are. They're soulless. The Zeta greys are horrifying. They're bad. They're not as bad as Dracos. Dracos are as bad as it gets. But at the same time, my personal belief is there's a difference between bad energy, evil, and demonic, where a lot of people feel that it's all clumped into one, and I don't share that belief. But that's me personally.
Well, one of the things that I have, am, you know, I'm learning, and I don't, this is one of the things, I'm just, well, I believe it based on what scriptures say, but I know there are fallen angels, and I know there are demons, I know there's difference between them. I know based on the Genesis 6 story, the Nephilim and their destruction, the spirits, you know, you have to go into the books of Enoch and Jasher and Jubilees and things like that to do those kinds of studies, And you know, I've looked at that, and I understand that there is a possibility that those are two different things. We know that we're told that there are certain types, like the fallen angels, that we can't mock. You know, you're not supposed to do certain things. With Jude tells us that so does Second Peter. But then the demonic forces, a whole different thing. So yeah. Can there be multiple types of energy? Yeah, I mean, I think the Bible very clearly speaks to that. I think it gives them names. I will say that no matter what we want to call them, Luke 10 very clearly says that we've been given authority over them. As a matter of fact, it says, rejoice not that the council of demons are under your control. Rather, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, and it says that we have given a power over them, and that they shall by no means hurt you. So the thing that you were talking about meeting something like that and having the hand of God on your shoulder, I have no problem with that. I've felt that very similar thing, you know. But you look at it and understand that most of the times we don't know. So are these hybrids, and let's just get to the root of it. Are these hybrids beings created? Are the greys beings created by fallen angels to carry the soul of a demonic entity? Are some of them a natural thing that is good and is different? And Satan has made, let's use the word clone carefully here, a clone or a copy of that. And that body now is used. If we look at the Nephilim in Genesis 6, they were super tall giants. And by the time we get to the other side of the flood, which there's a whole lot of things about how they got across, but David killing Goliath and other giants like that, they're, you know, on a maximum 10 feet tall, 10 to 12. Well, I think log was taller than that, but let's 12 feet on the outside. Point is, the whole word Rapha or Raphaim, it means sickly or dying. So the genetic, I believe a lot of the DNA experiments, all of that stuff is happening. I think it has gotten worse over time. They are dying. They're getting smaller. Their lifespans are less and less. I think, again, because of permissions, we see them as we expect to see them. And there are shapes and forms given to them as we expect to do it. Now, am I saying that if I run across a creature out there that is, let's just say, Sasquatch or the Bigfoot, a Yeti, whatever, if I run across that, am I guaranteed that that's demonic? No, I'm not. But is there a distinct possibility that as you can track those things, and they'll just go away? They are interdimensional beings. Well, right now, the only thing that I know of scripturally are the spirit of a man and the soul spirit of a man, if you will, because I believe that I am a spiritual being in possession of a soul inhabiting a human body. One day this body will go away. It'll never enter heaven. It'll never get there. I'll be given a new body that'll be designed to last eternal, and it will house my spirit man, who then is in possession of my soul. So these spirit beings, no matter if they're Nephilim, if they're fallen angel, if they're human beings, were created to live forever. They're going to live in some form, some place. Will they be given the new spirit body? No, not all of them will. Only the ones that are with Christ. But still, going back to what we're talking about with these things, if you talk to any of the, or read about any of these alien type of books where the aliens are speaking about religions, there is always, they are come to be our savior. They have a new type of religion. Even some of the leading Catholic scholars have said that we may have to change our religion and our scriptures to go along with theirs because they may not have fallen. Well, that is horrific to me because Paul said very clearly, if anyone brings any gospel to you other than what I preached, even if it be an angel,
and
let him be considered first.
Just for clarification, you're saying that the ETs are saying this?
Oh, absolutely. Most through the whole ancient alien television series, this is what you're seeing. We are the Anunnaki.
Oh, I don't pay attention to anything that they have on there because they don't half of it right. But
what the public is being pushed to, what they're being indoctrinated into, is this whole thing. And it is so much that even very, very high-ranking people in the Catholic Church, without a papal telling them, no, that's not right, without a rebuke from the papal authorities, are saying that we may have to even change the way that we worship, that they may have a different Jesus or another Jesus. Well, if God created the universe, that cannot be true. It just can't be.
No, and I'm a firm believer that God created the heavens, the earth, the universe, all of it. There is one God. That's it. I don't believe that there's multiple different ones. Now, like I said, I didn't choose the experiences I've had. I never went out in search of any of these things. This just happened to me. This is my life. This is the way it's always been. And I feel very blessed for what I've been able to experience there's other people like me out there, but there's not a lot of people that have had the exposure, the contact that I've had, good or bad. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of it has been absolutely beyond terrifying, and I've almost died a couple times before because of it. But I have never, ever have I ever heard as many of the beings and the creatures and the ETs and everything that I've ever come across. And this doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not saying that I know it all, because I don't believe there's an expert in any of this, but I have never heard one ever talk about having a different God than what we have. Not the good ones or the bad ones. Have I ever heard of any of them ever saying that? That's why I was so surprised when you said that.
Yeah, see, both Jacques Vallée and Hynek both have quoted sources, especially Vallée in Passport to, what's in the Passport to Magonia or whatever that is, that book I quoted in my paper. You know, he, from his research, and from Hynek, from his research, showed that the messages that the aliens communicate are that they are the true saviors. They are the ones that should be worshipped. They are these gods.
Yeah,
what
now,
I call
see,
them.
The only thing, the only ones that, I mean, and I've talked to multiples, but they, again, like I was saying it to Trey when he had asked me that question, the shape of what they claim at times may not be exactly a lookalike of what we have, but the basis of it and the God that they feel, they say, they've always said is the same one that we worship. I mean, and they've not given me any indication of anything else. The only thing they've ever said is, depending on the race, sometimes the outward appearance takes on different, you know, but.
All right.
Well,
All right.
Yeah, and even
this
going
is John.
India,
I am dying to make a comment here. I've been dying to make it for 15 minutes. If it makes everybody mad or if it makes everybody laugh, I don't care because it's a funny statement. I'm out there selling life insurance. And I get to a house, and someone has just replaced one of my policies. They said, oh, this man said he had a new kind of insurance. And I thought to myself, when the first time I heard it, I said, there's only three kinds of insurance. How new can it be? And then they start looking at me real, real confused, and I re-replace the policy. I mean, you know, there's no new kind of insurance anymore.
No, there's just one
there's
kind.
A new kind. Then there's and Lynn, I hope you chuckle at this a little bit. There's no new kind of insurance in the same way that there's no new kind of God. It's just God.
Yeah,
it's what it is.
And I think the importance is this is not just Lynn Meyer saying this. This is documented, and I actually gave quotes in the book. And told who these people were that were. I went on with Guy Cosmolato, who was the lead astronomer with for the Vatican, and there's several others in there. Some theologians from even other than Catholic or Catholic, I'm sorry, from a Catholic, even from non-Catholic backgrounds, making those statements that this is a message that we are getting from the ETs and have been for centuries based on Vatican documentation that these guys were aware of. I'm not talking about the secret stuff that's buried in the Vatican vault. You know, I'm not going conspiracy theory. I'm talking about stuff that we know about that are documented transmissions or communications with these entities.
But now you...
And, oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, honey, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh. No, it's just that what I'm saying is this is not original to me. This has reached such a state that even Pope Francis commented on it recently and saying that he would welcome aliens with open arms. And then is when all the other comments started about we may have to change our religion. They may have a different way because they may never have fallen, you know. Those comments.
Oh, so
coming
so,
from the,
so we got a new kind of religion. Uh-huh. No, we don't. We don't have a new kind of religion, Pope Francis, Pope anybody. We don't
have a new kind of religion. I think there's many interpretations of it. I will say that. I think that every religious facet has their own interpretations of the same thing. I just believe that there's just the one.
So all I wanted to make a point there was that this thought is not original to me, and it's been around for hundreds of years. And it is coming to a fruition now in 2020, 2021, 2019. These are the times that these type of comments are being made. That is why I speak about what I speak about, because we do as a church have an answer to it. We do have, there are lines drawn in the sand. I will accept no other God. I will accept no other Savior than Jesus Christ. I will accept no other Creator than Jesus Christ, because I am warned that those will come, especially in the last days. And I'm one of these crazies that believe we're in the last days and the end times, but we're told that these things are going to come, and we're told to watch for them.
Well, and I think your negative or even your bad, whether it's an ET or whatever type of creature, whether being whatever, I think any of the stuff that comes forward, just like you said, Satan comes in all forms, and he will try to deceive you. Now, for whatever my opinion is, which is nothing, but you know, we get these ones that are coming in and saying that they're alternative gods. Those are the ones that, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth out there, those are the ones that I would say that would be Satan trying to convince you of something else. You know, the ones that are on board with the same God that we have, those aren't the ones that I feel are being deceptive, because they worship the same thing. Now, and John and Trey, of course, knows this as well. I've done Mind Speak since I was a little kid. Mind Speak is more than just words in your head. It's pictures. It's images. It's like watching a movie. It's a feeling. It's a thought. It's multiple things. And even Dr. Melba Ketchum, who did the DNA study on the Bigfoot, and she is a very highly, highly religious woman. And she asked them one time, you know, show me who you worship. And she was shown an image in her mind of the Bigfoot sitting at the throne of Jesus Christ washing his feet. And she was blown away by it.
And that's a Bigfoot.
You know, and she's not the only one that has seen that. They've shown me multiple times various things that would be right. I mean, not that exact picture, but it would be roughly the same thing. And so I think, you know, I agree with you 100%, Lynn, when you said, you know, Satan will come in many avenues and it will be deceptive and it will try to make you believe this, this, or this. So for me, when I hear you say what you did, which I believe you 110%, you know, like I said, I find this fascinating to hear what you have to say, because I am a person where I want to hear all avenues. I'm never going to be one that's going to stay locked into one box. I want to hear all of it, so that I can make my own educated decision on what I feel is correct or what isn't, or I don't have all the answers. You'll never hear me say I have all the answers, because I don't believe there is any type of expert in any of this. But I would be more inclined to believe that when you have these other beings that are coming forth and saying, well, no, our God isn't the same as yours, it's this one, and this is who we're going to worship, those are the ones that to me would be Satan trying to mask something or lead you down the wrong path. But that's just my own opinion.
That's a new kind of insurance. It's a new kind of insurance,
yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Right, right. You know, I mean, I can remember sitting on my porch at 2 o'clock in the morning, because as I've said this before on here, they would come to the house and knock on my windows about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go outside at night with them. And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Like, it would bring you to tears, the amount of emotion that you could pick up, because I am an empath, and the emotion that you could pick up from that, and then hearing them, and it was like they were praying. They would do it in their language, they do it in our language, and again, and I've said this multiple times as well, when it comes to the Bigfoot or Sasquatch, Yeti, that's all basically the same. Their idea of love is a much deeper love than we understand. It goes far deeper than what we experience amongst our people. But then the bad ones are lethal, okay? So when I would experience this with them, it was so emotional and so raw and so moving. It would bring you to tears. It literally would bring you to tears. It was just this beautiful, beautiful experience. Now, you look at their people, and then you look at our people, okay? A people's a people. They're still a people. They don't have to be the same as ours, but they are a people. on the, you know, on one side they are human, and the other side they are ET, which is why they're multidimensional. They can be in flesh and blood in one moment. They can be multidimensional in another. I've watched them going in and out of portals. You name it. I've seen it. I've been through the gauntlet. But there, you know, there is good and bad. And then you compare them with what's going on in our world today and with our people. Part of the reason, I mean, our people have just, we've destroyed so much. It's beyond belief. But now, because of the big battle that's being fought here, and everything has come through the portals and the rifts and the dimensions, and this battle's been being fought here, it's been, I mean, for as long as I can remember, it's always been said this was going to happen, and it is. And I'm another one that believes in the end times. And there's so many of these negative entities and dark energies, as well as demonic. That's just one of many that are now on our plane and our planet, and look what's going on with it. You know, I mean, it's here. It just is.
And
right.
I read this. You see things like in Revelation, the four frogs that are spirit. It says very clearly, he saw the frogs go out and started and to draw the kings of the earth. You know, these are satanic beings, that the fallen angels that are sent out to pull these things in. They look like frogs, which is your reptilian look. You know, the whole seraph is based on the root word of a snake. So the things you're talking about, they resonate with me. I can't look at that and say, oh, Bigfoot can't worship. Oh, there's no such thing as a Bigfoot that can worship. I don't think you're going to hear that from me. I'd have to really pray about that and get a strong leading about that to say, no, you can't hear that. But if these entities exist and they are put here as good, as evil, and as good, I still have to look at that and say, what are they trying to teach me? If they're trying to teach me, you know, glory to God, you know, this is what it is, you know, like you're talking about, experience you have, then I have to look at that and say, I have to be careful around that. On the other hand, if I don't know, and I say, like Marzulli said, rebuke first and ask questions later. Let's say I run across something like that, like you're talking about the good Bigfoots, and they're telling you if I looked at that and I rebuke them, they're going to be just like the angels did. They're going to say, look, I'm here for a reason. Don't be afraid, because they know the reason I'm rebuking them is because I'm afraid. So the first thing they're going to do is, look, I'm a messenger just like you are. Don't be afraid.
When you see them, I'm sorry I interrupted you again, Lynn. That wasn't my intention.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Again, if you are around one and, you know, you plead the name of Jesus Christ, the good ones, nothing bad's going to happen to them. They're just not. It's like I do energy work. I do energy bubbles for protection. I do it on multiple people. I've done it for years. It's always worked. And the thing of it is the good stuff can still get to you. The bad stuff can't. I have my group ongoing contact with. I've had it for years. Those, they know they can be here anytime, day or night. I don't care. They've saved my life before. I have got an energy protection bubble around me that I've had for, oh my God, decades now. And they can still come up to me. They can still put hands on me because they're not bad. You know, I have pictures of my children when they were little and they were getting on a school bus, and you can actually see a protection ring around them. And we had it when the picture was taken. We had not only various photographers look at it, but we also had my mother's a devout Catholic, as is my sister and her family. And we took it and had Father Anthony look at it as well. And it looks like the crown that sits on Jesus. And it was surrounding my children, you know.
Well,
and but these beautiful things and these protections will not stop anything good. They only stop bad. So when I do these things and I teach people how to do them for themselves as well, I educate a lot of people. And they're like, well, you know, I have such and such and such and such, and they're one of the good Bigfoots, and I don't want to make them go away. Oh, honey, you're not gonna. Pray away, you know, plead the name of Jesus Christ. Please do, because I promise you the good ones aren't going to go anywhere because it's not going to hurt them. The bad ones, it will make them crispy critters.
Yep.
And it will level them.
We can have a
wow. Well, I tell you what, Robin and Lynn, we've got a minute left, and I'm going to give the last word to the Surgeon General, Dr. Trey Donaway.
Well, I tell you, John, this has been a very interesting discussion. We've gone on a wide range of topics. It's both from the Judeo-Christian ethic to the to cryptids and to entities that we are not as familiar with. But it really, when you enter religion into the mix, it really does create for an interesting discussion. And thank you all for that tonight.
It really does. And so, first of all, Lynn Myers, thank you very much. We're going to have you back on. Is that okay?
Yeah, Lynn, thank you so much. It was really wonderful to speak with you.
Oh, it was so good to talk to you all, too. And I do appreciate what you shared. Thank you so much for that.
Well, I appreciate what you've said, too. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
All right. And Robin, thank you.
Sir.
And
it was
Trey
great to
Donaway,
see and talk
thank
to everybody.
You. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we will be back next week with John LeMay, our first Monday guest every month. He's always a lot of fun. So we look forward to having everybody here on ScaryCast next week. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time.
Take care, everybody.
ScaryCast 9.
Thank you.
9 p.m. Eastern. 9 p.m. Eastern. There we go.